And I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? He said, because I've called you to be a forerunner.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to teach my people how to walk in this by faith, because the hour is coming when this is going to be necessary for my people to embrace. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be wars, there's going to be famine, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be natural disasters, everything's going to shut down, but my word will not be stopped.
God promises in Joel 2:28 to pour out His Spirit on all humanity. Welcome to Global Outpouring, where we contend for that promised outpouring, we equip for that outpouring, so that we may engage in that very outpouring. I'm Philip Buss.
And I'm Sharon Buss. Welcome to the podcast today. We have with us Bruce and Reshma Allen, who are coming here the first week of September for their School of Supernatural Translation by Faith. This is an amazing school. We've had them here 3 times before, and every single time it is life-changing. And we're going to talk with them about the subject that they're going to be teaching when they come here that started with this question: can a man be translated by faith? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is an amazing podcast that you are going to be blessed by. I believe you'll find it life-changing and stirring for your faith. But before we get started, we want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to go to our website, globaloutpouring.net. That's where you'll find everything about our podcast, and that's where you'll find the feedback form, and there's a place there that you can click to join our email lists, any one of them or all of them or whatever, and we'll be able to stay in touch with you and keep you informed of when something new is happening, and the events that are going to be coming up and what God is doing. So we want to just encourage you to get on those lists so that we can stay in contact with you no matter what happens. And also on the website, you can click on the events tab, or if you're going there from your phone, click on those little lines, the lines that are sitting on top of each other, and select events, and you'll see the event about this School of the Supernatural Translation by Faith. Read all about it. Look at all the pictures of our facilities and the pictures of our classroom, and get an idea of what's going on, and let the Holy Spirit stir you and give you instructions. Are you supposed to be here? We want to encourage you to come. It's going to be glorious. Well, Bruce and Reshma, it is such a delight to have you back with us again. It's been a really long time, and we're excited that you're with us on this podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great being back together with you guys. We've missed you.
Yes,
thank you. Yes, we've missed you too. And we're looking forward to your coming for the School of the Supernatural Translation by Faith, September 1st through 6th, 2025. Right here at our headquarters. I know that you are going around the world doing these schools, and it's just our delight to be able to host this one.
Yes.
Again.
Well, we always have a great time there, and it's nice having everybody in the same place, the same time. And there's always something special. You know, there's that deposit from ministry there from years and years that makes it a thin place.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. You know, I've been here, I think, about 48 years, and you're absolutely right about the deposit that's been put here.
Oh my,
such amazing people.
You couldn't put a price tag on it.
Oh, no, that it's eternal. You know, we've been pressing in for the eternal, for the glory of God for decades. And and it's just wonderful to be able to find people of like precious faith that are teaching things that are so important for moving forward in the days that we're in and going into. So for the sake of those who are listening that have not met you before or heard about you before, can you give us a little bit of background about how you got to this place where you're doing what you're doing?
By accident? No.
I don't think so.
No. You know, the Lord, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So it's not any predisposition or planning on my part.
Right.
It's the sovereign God in His mercy that's led us step by step into line upon line, precept upon precept revelation. I know when I got saved, I used to read some of the old timers that talked about, you know, they had to pray through to salvation. And at first I didn't understand that, but then I remembered for the first year or two of my walk with God, I was so uncertain because I wasn't taught correctly. I had no formal background at all. And so the moment you make a mistake, oh no, I got to get saved again. And I got, I didn't have that. So it was, you know, it was a struggle just coming to the assurance part. Mm-hmm. And then it seems like everything in my walk with God was in that vein of I had to stand in faith and press through to the assurance and the reality of the truth. Yes. And I thank God for that. I really do, because not only does it put a perseverance in there, but it also puts a greater hunger and desire, a passion for more.
Yes.
And so that's one of the ways he trained me. And then I never had all the flashy experiences. Everybody would have these amazing testimonies, you know, and I was like, is there something wrong with me? And I would even have, you know, some of the well-known ministries of our day, they would pray. I'd be in a prayer line and everybody be dropping and having, you know, experiences, and they'd pray for me. And it was like, that's it?
Nothing happened.
And I couldn't, you know, I really contended and say, Father, what's the matter here? And finally, one day he said, son, I want you to learn to walk by faith, not an experience.
Amen.
Oh,
once
wow.
that's established in you, that faith, then I'll release experiences.
Beautiful. Mm.
And so because my character as a human being, the way if I'd have had an experience, I probably would have camped there forever and never persevered on.
Yes.
And so that's how he did that. And so he would, looking back, you know, you can see when God drops little nuggets of truth or something that tweaks you, you go, wait a minute. And then you start digging in that direction. And it led up to, oh, I don't know, 23 years ago now or more. Mm-hmm. It's 2025. Mm-hmm. Yeah, more than that, 26 years ago, when I woke up one morning and Holy Spirit was there. And he said, can a man be translated by faith? And that's where it started for me. I had no paradigm for that at all. Didn't even know what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And so by revelation, the Lord began to unfold certain mysteries in Scripture that pertain to this specific generation. And that's the beginning of all of this super, supernatural walk.
So can you give us an idea of what translation by faith is?
By faith, Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. So there's one.
Yes.
I didn't even know about that. I mean, that wasn't on my radar. So that also threw in an extra facet of challenge. By faith, he was translated or changed sides, transferred, that he would not even see death. And I went, wait a minute. Isn't it saying the word, it's appointed unto man once to die? Well, so now I had to go back and have my understanding, the theology I thought was absolute truth, revitalized and renewed by the word of God.
There you go.
Not the explanation from a mindset about the word of God. You know,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
Every one of us receives revelation and we teach that, but that is never going to be the full counsel of God. Mm-hmm. And we must learn that. So we get together just like us right now. Mm-hmm. We put into the hat our facets of revelation.
Yes.
Now we have a greater whole. Mm-hmm. And throughout your life, you're going to get people that continue to add to or have a different facet of revelation or understanding. Now we're starting to, I don't want to say flesh out, but we're building out the totality of the fullness of what God wants to release. So
yes,
to me, that's something I had to learn. We all have to learn. So he always throws these little things in there and then says, go back to the scripture, go back to the scripture. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first one, Enoch in Genesis. Mm-hmm. Enoch walked with God for 300 years and he was not, for God took him.
Yes.
Well, okay, what is that? Well, that's a translation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Physical. And he didn't see death. Elijah and the chariot of fire, a translation, and he did not see death.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Philip, translocation. I use different terminology because one was physical and spiritual. One is just physical. Of course, they're spiritual.
Sure.
But just in the attempt to try and describe this. So all throughout Scripture, he began to show me things. And I went, how come this isn't on the radar of anybody in the church? Well,
right.
Yeah.
Religious spirit will try and nullify the reality of the kingdom.
True.
And so yeah, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. And in that mix, you know, Reshma, the facet she plays, it's foundational. It's got to be. You
yes.
have to be able to discern mm-hmm. what's truth from error, what's the God spirit and any other spirit. So
right.
without that, so many people get led astray.
Very true. Very true. And I so appreciate the fact that everything that you teach is so carefully founded on the Word of God.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. Reshma adds that extra piece of discerning by the Spirit. What is this? Is this the real thing? Or because there's counterfeits out there. And that's what makes a lot of people afraid to even look at this subject mm-hmm. because they think that this is, oh, this is just that.
Astral projection.
Yeah, this is just yeah. astral projection.
Spooky spiritual.
Yeah, spooky spiritual.
Spiritual.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But this is supposed to be normal Christianity. And I remember, oh, more than 50 years ago when I got the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I was hearing about people that were experiencing this thing of, you know, they're driving down the road and all of a sudden they have arrived at their destination and not enough time has passed. They've gotten where they were going without the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So somehow yeah. they were translated into the place where they needed to be in God's timing.
Right.
And so this is normal as far as I'm concerned. It never was kind of spooky spiritual out there to me because I heard about it when I was a teenager. You know, okay, well, let's just do that. You know? So the things that you're teaching are normal Christianity.
You know, I've said it should become the norm in our life. It's not normal.
Yeah.
But the Lord said, no, this is kingdom life.
Yes.
Kingdom life. Yeah.
And we're part That's of good. The kingdom, and we should be operating based upon kingdom principles and kingdom life, not man's intellectual grasp of something that's spiritual, which is always far short of truth.
Right.
So,
right.
yeah. And, you know, when we're young in the Lord, that we're, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I want to do that.
Right.
But as you hang around for a while, it's, no, God doesn't do that. You can't do that. And it's da da da. So doubt is something you learn, just like faith is something you grow in.
Oh, mercy.
Wow.
God forbid.
Yeah.
And so we have to be purveyors of truth and the potential or possibility of kingdom life rather than doubt and the impossibility of kingdom life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, there's so many churches that are teaching that all of these miracles left us with the apostles when they went home to be with the Lord, which is totally wrong. There's no evidence that that's true, except mm-hmm. they had to come up with a reason for why they didn't have the power.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Well, that's the truth. But you know what it is? It's a brilliant strategy of the enemy to keep believers from their full inheritance in Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It's very yeah. true.
And very so true. Why not? Why does the devil have to fight the church when he can have the church fighting the church?
Wow.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's true.
Problem solved. Let's move on to other things.
Wow.
Yeah, just stir up trouble between people. Yep.
And that's why the scripture talks about when we come to the unity of the faith.
Yes.
To the fullness of the stature of the knowledge of God.
Right.
Well, with all of these little schisms that are bred by the devil and people buy into them mm-hmm. because they're taught to believe a lie,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then we're not what we're supposed to be. We're not what we're going to be, but shortly we will be.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, we've had Dean Braxton on this podcast numerous times, and you've known him for many years since he had that yeah. experience where he went to heaven. And I just feel like it's God's mandate for us, really, to grasp what the kingdom is like. What is the kingdom of heaven like? What happens there? And let's start acting it out here on earth as it is in heaven in the process mm-hmm. of answering the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think in this generation, we have the opportunity to participate in the answer to that prayer.
Oh, very much. The word says, basically, set your affections on things above.
Yes.
Yeah. So now he's giving us multiple examples through people who have had these death experiences and come back to share,
yes,
so that we have a better grasp and focus, not only from a testimony standpoint, but from the scriptural standpoint.
Yes.
So what you focus on, you empower.
Yes.
So if you want the kingdom of heaven on earth, first it starts in us. What are we focusing on?
Yes.
And if we focus on the kingdom of heaven, now we're going to be, the natural outflow is releasing it on the earth, because out of the abundance of the heart, it flows forth.
Right, right. The mouth speaks. And we're in that season. The numbers of the Hebrew year are, they're spelled out as letters in the Hebrew, right. Hebrew alphabet. There's no numbers in Hebrew. So they use letters. And this decade is the decade that is shown by the letter pay, which is a P sound, you know, but it also means mouth. The word for mouth is also pay. So our words in this season, in this time, are so important that we speak the word of God instead of speaking our own opinion that may be stilted and may be out of order.
Right. Isn't it interesting? My quirky sense of humor, pay. What you speak, you were going to pay for.
Oh, yeah.
Or you paid for it. That's why you speak it. But yeah.
Yeah.
There's a price to be paid for every word that comes out of our mouth.
That's very true.
Wow.
That's
right.
Yeah.
And this new one coming up, 5786.
Yeah.
Fascinating. You're going to enjoy when we have my kid sister, I call her, Patricia Bartel, coming to teach with us. We started her years ago on the letters and numbers and the pictographic. And she has, again, like everything she sets her focus on, she's passed me by like I'm standing still. But she's put together courses in this now.
Wow.
As well as powerful understanding. You're going to enjoy talking with her. But she might bring some of that to the table at the school, too.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah.
And she's coming to this September school.
Yeah, she'll be at the school. Yeah.
Wonderful. So we'll maybe have to interview her as well.
Oh, wow.
Actually, that would be awesome. And ask her lots of questions.
Oh, good. Tremendous. So, Reshma, tell us a little bit more about your background and how this came to be that you're participating in the teaching, and particularly about the importance of
discernment.
Discernment.
Yeah.
She had to discern the word.
Had to discern
the word. Thank you for having me. Well, my background, I was born and raised in Fiji Islands. So I grew up in the church. My family was radically saved through a supernatural vision that my mom had. And our people are very, what do I call them, spiritual people or people who always saw. So I grew up in a family where my grandmother was a very spiritual person. And Hindus, my background is Hinduism, they worship over 3 million gods.
300 million.
Yes. And my grandmother was this priestess, I would call her. And she always invited spirits over herself to minister to people. She will have words of prophecy. She will read palms and everything. And when she did this, I watched it. As a little girl, she will change into this different person. Totally different. This sweet little grandma, her demeanor, her look, her body movements, her voice will change into this different thing. And then she will start speaking and she will start kind of prophesying and all these things. So people came to her. And now I understand that I could say that she was in witchcraft.
Oh, yeah.
So growing up, I knew that supernatural was very real because we saw it. We felt it.
Yes.
So when we became believers, my mom was supernaturally saved because she had a vision. So for me, it wasn't difficult to believe that supernatural is real.
Yeah.
So if there is a dark side, there has to be a side that is full of light.
Amen.
That's what I always believe. Good and evil, right and wrong, good spirits and bad spirits. So then growing up in the church, when I first got my Bible, it became so precious to me because I started reading that. And I started seeing things in the Bible and seeing the supernatural things that happen, talking to God and seeing Him and God visiting us. It did not take me by surprise because I was used to knowing that supernatural is real. And then I started seeing things in the Bible and seeing things in the church and some of the teachings of the way people were treated. And I started saying, oh, that's not what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. That's not true. So these things I pondered in my heart over my growing up years in the church. And I think so from a very young age, it must have been the grace of God. And it was that he started showing me things differently. I will have these dreams and visions that were so vivid about the last days. And at first, my family thought that there was something wrong with me because culturally also, women were not allowed to speak a lot in the church. And if we had dreams or visions or ever used a word like God said this to me or I saw this, you were made fun of.
Wow.
And also because the way women were looked at. So you were a woman, God couldn't talk to you. He only speaks to men, but not to women. So things like that. So a lot of things was suppressed and I was looked down on. But I had this relationship with the Lord and I started seeing right and wrong. So it was in me. So when I got married and came to the United States and started traveling with my husband some over 23 years ago now, going around the world, we see a lot of things. We see a picture of the church in a big way, you know.
Broader stroke of the brush.
Yeah. And the places we went to, things that happened. And I'm like, I will have this check in my spirit. So yes. I will just talk to my husband. And then the Lord started talking to me all of a sudden, long time ago, probably now 18, 19 years ago, he started talking to me about discernment. And I would stand up and say that God said that we need discernment. But in the beginning, I didn't do a due diligence of listening to what God was saying or really studied or looked into it. But I started seeing a glaring need of discernment in the body of Christ. So over the years, he started speaking to me. And then really about, let's say now about 10 years ago, we were going to Philippines to do some ministry and we had our bags packed. And we were leaving the house and Bruce turns around and looks at me and he goes, Reshma, I want you to get ready. You will be speaking this time. And I kind of looked at him, just smiled. And it's like, oh, you are just joking. They want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from me. You know, you are speaking. So I did not give much thought to it. You know, how we husband and wife sometimes just brush each other off when they are saying something we are not serious. That's what I had done. So when we got to Philippines, the Lord started speaking to me within me, and it was so strong that he was saying that I was going to share something, that I was to stand up and share something about discernment. And I was just like, Lord, what are you doing? But I think so we all know when God asks us to do something and we don't want to do it, or we feel we are not equipped or not prepared, and he makes us very uncomfortable. True. He made me very uncomfortable where I had to say yes. And I said, Lord, but I'm sorry that I have not read any materials of anybody on discernment. I didn't even look at all the scriptures in the Bible. I really didn't study it or make notes. So I have nothing. All I have is an empty
notebook
and a Bible. So if you would show me what to say, then I will say it.
Good.
Then he started speaking to me about discernment and he started showing me scriptures. So that's where it all started. And I was able to put a message together, a teaching to it together really quickly. And then one morning we were waking up because I was struggling within myself, English being my second language. Sometimes I really feel intimidated standing in front of people and speaking. Yeah. And then I like to hide behind my husband, though he pushes me. I'm like, I don't have anything to say. If God says something to me, I will tell him and say, you tell the people. You give, this is a word of knowledge. You tell them, this is a word of prophecy.
So I was the hand puppet.
But that time, God just came upon me so strongly. He started speaking to me. And then one morning, as we were waking up, Bruce pulls out this book from the drawer in the hotel room and he opens it and he gives it to me. And I open it and it was like a devotional book. And on that particular page, it was written about Billy Graham. He was invited to speak at this function where there were going to be white collar jobs people, people from higher education, people from like CEOs and all these smart people he considered, or I would say, and he was to speak in front of them. And he was so nervous.
He was just a young guy.
He was just a young man. And he was, you know, he did not, he said he thought he was just a little preacher. You know, what does he have to say in front of all these educated people? And the Lord spoke to him that day and encouraged him. Somebody called him, I think, and said to him, that scripture where it says that I will open your mouth and I will fill it. And that encouraged him so much that morning, and he was able to go and had a great time. And so when Bruce did that to that page, and I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. Beautiful. I really hear you. And I said, okay, I will just stand up and you will fill my mouth. So that's how it all started. The discernment message started building up. So everything that I share in the school on discernment directly came from the Lord. He led me through the Bible. And it's just been so exciting to be able to share what he laid out for me and for all of us. So that's where it started.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And now her book should be published by the time we get there.
Oh, really? Wow. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, yeah, we've been talking about that for a couple of years, I think.
Yes. Finally, we actually found somebody from Jasper that's doing it.
What?
Really?
She might stop by. Yeah. Yeah. Angela. Her name is Angela.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So, Bruce, when you first got started with this idea, the Lord planted in your heart the question, can a man be translated by faith? What happened about a year later after you had been studying this?
We were doing a New Year's conference, Andre Ashby and myself, in a church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Mm-hmm. Pastors there had been friends of mine for quite some time. And matter of fact, my dad and pastor's wife, Ruth, her dad used to minister together way back.
Wow.
So he said, so what's the Lord been talking to you about recently? And I started sharing a little bit about this. And he went, oh, are you going to speak on that? I said, no, I'm not ready for that. I don't like to throw things out that I don't have a grasp of, you know. And the other couple that was in the ministry together, they partnered together, shared it with them. And when they got up to introduce the meetings and that, this other couple said, oh, and Bruce is going to teach on this. And now I'm like, whoa, no.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit annoyed. I'm just being honest. And during worship, I'm contending with God. And and out of nowhere, I was caught away in the Spirit.
Glory to God.
Over Latvia. So that started it. And the truth is, my focus from where I had studied up to that point was translation was physical. So I didn't even equate this being caught away in the Spirit to a translation experience. But that was, again, part of the process over the years as the Lord trained me in this and gave me understanding. And then what happened after that is I saw a chariot of fire come in. And I mean, bedlam. The pastor and his wife sat there and were caught away. And this other couple were caught. I mean, on and on and on. And the Lord really put his stamp on this and said, this is what you're called to.
Beautiful.
So I was really blown away in one respect, but a little bit, not confused, but I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? He said, because I've called you to be a forerunner. And you're going to teach my people how to walk in this by faith, because the hour is coming when this is going to be necessary for my people to embrace. Because there's going to be wars, there's going to be famine, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be natural disasters, everything's going to shut down, but my word will not be stopped.
Amen.
And so that's where it started.
Yeah. And of course, we had even just a small taste of that in 2020 and 2021, that you know, people weren't able to travel. I think that probably God's people did some of that already. And there are lots of people that have experiences where they think they're dreaming in the night.
Exactly. Right?
And they're actually doing it.
Yeah, that's true. That's part of the process he took us through it in through the word. But, you know, we reason away reality based upon doctrine.
Yeah.
And the Lord taught me through this process, it's better for you to err on the side of faith than on the side of doubt.
Amen.
So if you, you know, chew on that a little bit, it's okay. We started making part of our lifestyle, not every night, but as the Spirit moves us, mostly, Father, we're available tonight.
Right.
Knowing that God can take us in the Spirit to do this. And why people have always said, why would I have to be asleep for that? Because you overthink during the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't turn the noise down enough to hear the voice of God or be obedient to the Word of God.
Yeah.
But at night, there's a measure of rest now God can do.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And you mentioned 2020, a little taste of it, that reminds me of when 2020 hit, how many calls and emails we started getting from people, because Bruce had been talking about this, you know, he believes very radically in the Word of God, all the things that happen in the Bible. And he said, you know, it's possibility to happen in our generation too, because the Word of God is profitable for every generation.
Amen.
And it's same yesterday, today, forever, you know.
Yes.
And heaven and earth, the Bible says, will pass away, but His Word will not.
Amen.
And His Word is full of supernatural encounters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we started getting calls because He's been talking about these things for over 20, 25 years. And some places we went to, they just made fun of Him.
Mm.
And some places somebody would stand up and say, you are crazy and things like that. And all of a sudden when 2020 happened,
yeah.
We started getting calls, we started
yep.
getting emails,
mm-hmm.
and they said, we are sorry or thank you,
wow.
and you have been talking about these things for so many years, but now we see, because He used to say a long time ago, there's going to be a day that we won't be able to travel. There will mm-hmm. be a day that we will be locked down. Do you think because naturally we are locked down and God's word will stop? No. He
go.
Will supernaturally take us places. His word will always go forth. His people will always be able to do what they've been called to do. So, yeah, it was an amazing taste in 2020. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, 2020 was only it was the Lord's grace and mercy saying, pay attention now.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know mm-hmm. this is going to come even more than it has this time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that to me was a starting point for many people to understand the Word of God and grasp
mm-hmm.
it. Because what's before us naturally is going to be far more severe than this man-made problem was. There are natural things happening, volcanic,
mm-hmm.
you know, the weather, floods, mm-hmm. solar flares that are shutting down electronics and shutting down flights. And we're in this, and it's going to continue to increase and get worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the starting point for most believers is you better start focusing on the kingdom and God's solution
right.
to these things that are coming on the earth. So the time is now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Reshma, you had an experience in the night some years ago where you dreamed something. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Quite a few years ago now, we were in Wisconsin ministering, and it was a Saturday night.
I think it was 2016 when that happened, but yeah.
Yeah. It was a Saturday and we went to bed. And I had this very vivid dream, very real and very tangible. All night long, I was going up and down a beach and warning people to go to a higher ground. A huge wave was coming. So all night long, I was helping people.
In an Asian country.
And people look like Asian people. Middle of the night, I got up to go to the bathroom. I went back and right back into that. So in the morning when I woke up, we were getting ready to go to church to speak. And I said to Bruce, as he was getting ready, I said, I need to turn the TV on. And he said to me, Reshma, you know that we don't turn TVs on in the hotel rooms.
Before a meeting.
Yeah, we understand that.
But anyway, we hardly ever do it.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want any kind of influence. I don't want to see anything. We're preparing to go to church. And I said, no, you don't understand. I'm not turning it on because I want to watch TV. I said, there is something that has happened in the world and I need to see it. And we turned the TV on and tsunami in Japan had just happened. That big tsunami that we all remember was so devastating. I was just like hit with this realization. Oh my gosh, was I there all night long helping people? Yeah. It was so real. It was so real. So that really shook me because I have had visions like dreams like that before all through my life. Wow. I believe majority of us have it because God sometimes going around the world and sharing, people will come up to say and they will say, you know, I have had dreams like that. I have seen myself somewhere in the world praying for somebody, helping somebody and all these. And so that was one of my very vivid ones years ago. Yeah. When that tsunami happened.
Very interesting that, you know, because we were in their time zone. So which is our night is their day.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. Yeah. I remember our founder, Sister Gwen Shaw, telling those kind of stories a lot. I remember there was one lady that she talked about. Her name was Confidence Clotes, I believe. I think that was her name. And she told us about how this woman would have these dreams. And in her dreams, she was taken by an angel to some faraway place, and she would minister while she's sleeping. She'd be ministering. And then she'd wake up in the morning and have this wonderful testimony of, oh, I had such a wonderful dream. Right. So there was one time that she was taken. Now, she lived in California, and that she was taken by an angel to some place in Asia. And as the angel is bringing her back, the sun is beginning to rise and she sees the coastline and she says, could we just go down and let me get a handful of sand? And so the angel takes her down. She gets a handful of sand. The next thing she knows, you know, here's this knock on the door. Sister Confidence, what's going on? You're sleeping so late. This is unusual for you. And it was the lady that lived with her and, you know, her assistant. And so she says, oh, come in, dear. And she says, she begins to tell the wonderful testimony of how the angel took her and she was ministering and in her dream, she's ministering in her dream. And she says, as the angel was bringing me back, I asked him to let me grab a handful of, and she opened her hand and she had a handful of sand.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, there's something very real about all of these things that are going on.
Mr. Confidence.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Awesome. That's something by faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, see, a lot of people, they get hung up on the minutia. Was that me or was that my imagination? Was that a dream or was it real? Was that, err on the side of faith. Father, thank you for that opportunity. Can I do it again?
Yes.
Amen. We have an American Indian sister that is a very good friend of ours. She knew Bruce before we were married. So that's like over 25, 26 years ago. And when Bruce started talking about these things and teaching, and one day she came to us and she said, Bruce, I have something for you. Apparently, in 1950s, she interviewed a man.
No, that was in 80s.
She had interviewed a man that was known to be taken in the spirit by the angels all over the world. And she said, Bruce, I have the VHS?
VHS interview. Yes.
Interview. And she said, I'm the only one who interviewed him. And she said, all these years I have been keeping it.
Yes.
But the Lord said to me to give it to you.
Yeah.
And we have the original copy of that. And we turned it on. Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, my. There's testimonies after testimonies of this man been taken all over the world, and to a point where his wife got so used to it, and she will share stuff like this on the show, that her clothes, she'll wake up, his clothes will be there and he's not. And he's gone. And then she knew where he was, that the Lord had taken him.
Yeah.
And then she will share from the, around the world, he will bring souvenirs for her.
Oh, wow.
And neighbors would see flashes and he'd disappear, and flashes he'd come back.
Isn't it some years ago that we had given to a man the VHS and he...
No, we put it on CD.
And he put it on CD, but then somebody put it on YouTube. So you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But this, his son called you.
Yes.
His son called us, this man's son, some years ago.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And do you, what was the conversation he had with you? Basically, he verified.
Oh, yeah.
He was okay with it. Yes.
Oh, thank God.
That's truth.
That this happened to his dad.
Wow.
So that was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was shunned by the church.
Yes.
Because they said, that's not God, that's the devil.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. Well, the things that he did were amazing. Yes. And only God. Only God. Yeah, because the same lady gave Sister Gwen a copy.
Oh, okay.
So we've had it for years, too.
And you know what's interesting? I was reminded of this. They just had a 7.3 earthquake in Alaska.
Yeah.
Remember the one back in 64?
Yes.
It was 7.3?
Massive. Yes.
Guess what? He was, by the Spirit, taken there and ministered to people that were trapped.
Really? Yes. Wow.
So it was like, pay attention, pay attention.
Yes.
Because I've always said, I want a supernatural first responder team to be there and help.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's one of my driving motivations in teaching this.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard you say that, and I was hoping that you would say it again for us on this episode. So, yeah, this is the point that we need to be doing what Jesus did. Because, right. You know, there's a place where he has spoken something in the synagogue in Nazareth, and it made everybody upset because he's really just declared himself to be the Messiah.
Yeah, right.
And everybody's all upset, and they're going to take him to the edge of the cliff and throw him off. And then it just says he passed between them.
Yeah.
He
walked through the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. He walked through the crowd. Them. Well, how do you do that and not be apprehended?
Right.
You know, there had to be some kind of supernatural something. And then there's the time when he's walked on the water and he gets into the boat and instantly they're at their destination.
Right.
That's translation. So yes. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. So yeah. We just need to allow the Holy Spirit to expand our spiritual mind to begin to embrace him. Now, mm-hmm. just before we close, let's talk for a moment about relationship in relationship to this. Relationship with the Lord. Can you just expound a little on that? Because I know that this is critical.
How can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How can you be in agreement if you don't know somebody?
Right. Mm-hmm.
How do you ever get to know somebody if you never spend time with them?
Right.
Yeah.
So we have you've heard this expression, armchair quarterbacks. We have a lot of religious armchair quarterbacks.
Yes.
That think they have all the answers when they have nothing.
Yes.
They have head knowledge. Or an intellectual assent to a written document, not a relational revelation.
Yes. Mm.
And so if relationship is so important, because the Lord does not entrust the secrets of the kingdom to those who don't know him.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you want to walk in the deeper realms of kingdom life, you must spend time with the author of life. Mm-hmm. And so that he becomes your most intimate acquaintance, your best friend, your Lord, your King, your God.
Amen.
Not just somebody that's in the periphery of your acquaintance list, you know?
Yes.
We all say, oh, I've got a lot of friends, but how many true friends do you really have?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. We pushed religion rather than focused on relationship.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that is the most important thing in the life of a believer, is developing a passionate relationship with the living God. That's why he came and died, so we could have that.
Exactly.
So anything less than that is really snubbing or doing despot to the very fact, the reason he came. Is like, well, yeah, whatever.
Mm.
What is it? Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
And so he's always taught me that relationship is more important than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've just watched it over the years, not only for myself. This is where I've got to start.
Right.
But then you can start recognizing, what's the motive for a lot of people being in ministry?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, you can watch how they conduct themselves in ministry, and you begin to recognize, okay, what's the hook? Is it money? Is it prestige? Is it, I'm going to be a success, I'm going to have the biggest, the best? Or is it out of a love for God?
Right.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest warriors, the most profound reflections of Christ are the hidden ones that
yes.
walk with him day in and day out without needing the accolades or the recognition of the world.
Hmm.
And so there are so many people having translocation or kingdom experiences that we never hear because they don't share them. They don't cast their pearls before swine.
Mm-hmm.
Once they recognize that others have that, then they can begin to share, because now we're on common ground. And I've had so many people finally share their testimonies because they go, oh, you understand. We were talking about Dean Braxton. Mm-hmm. When I first met Dean after, just shortly after his experience, I was fascinated because I've studied these for years. I said, so tell me about your experience. He said, I can't. I said, what do you mean? He said, the Lord said, if you don't ask a question, I can't answer it.
Wow.
Okay. Uh-huh. So what about this? Did you see? Yeah. And how about, yeah. And you know, I think that, oh, you've been there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then now we had common ground. Now he could share.
Right. Hmm.
And I believe that's the way it is with a lot of seasoned saints that know not to just, you know, throw things out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And on the other hand, concerning relationship, concerning discernment, I would say mm-hmm. also that we all know that supernatural has become a catchphrase in Christendom mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Let's say for past 15 years, we have so many books written. We have so many material out there, videos, people having supernatural experiences. They talk about visiting with angels, seeing angels, going to heaven, meeting saints, meeting Jesus, all this. But how are we to discern? Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, it talks about in Book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, are we able to discern people who are sharing? I'm not saying that God cannot do these things. Yes, he does. Bible is full of it. But Bible also cautions us to be able to discern the spirits they're operating from, because there are also a lot of lying signs, wonders, and miracles.
That's right.
And the Bible even talks about that the enemy can come as an angel of light. So we have to spend that time with the Lord. Even in Book of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord, mm-hmm. when the disciples came to him and asked him, tell us the signs of the last days.
Yes.
And the very first thing the Lord talked about, see that you will not be deceived.
Amen.
Deception. Mm-hmm. There is so much deception mm-hmm. in the world today and in the church today.
Right.
And then he went on to say there will be rumors of wars. There will be all these natural things. But the very first thing, that you are not deceived. You know, there are false prophets, false teachers coming and deceiving people. So we got to be able to discern in this hour. So that's where the teaching of discernment comes in, because we talk a lot in the school also about supernatural things, but we got to be able to discern right and wrong, good and evil, right spirit and wrong spirit. It's
Amen.
So important. Amen. We see it everywhere. It's just amazing to see the deception out there.
Right. And especially with AI being what it is.
Yes.
And gaining more ground, there's so much that AI can counterfeit.
Yeah. And one of the things that I quickly say, if we have time, is it's called digital harvesting. So what happens is AI prophecies.
Oh, no.
So what is happening is that people going online, if you have put any information about yourself online, they will go harvest that. They will see all the videos, or maybe you put in your happiness, you've been through something, and they find out all this information about you online. And then they contact you online, and they will try to give you a word of prophecy.
Oh, wow.
And people are buying into it.
Yeah, there was a woman that actually asked the AI for a prophetic word. Oh, no, she had a tongue and she wanted an interpretation. This is where. And so she thought, oh, let's do this. And the AI interpreted it. And she said it was spot on. And so now she's pushing, we need to do this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Encouraging people to ask AI. And it's not the spirit of God. There are people not getting things from the spirit of God, from AI.
And now pastors are using AI just for messages. They don't even study anymore.
Yeah.
So how do you discern that? Is this the gospel according to a computer or the gospel according to the kingdom?
Right.
So, yes, we have to discern.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And character is the tell.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Go there. Talk about that.
The class, we are going to go through and look at discernment from all angles. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. We are going to have question and answer sessions on it. And it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Well, instead of me going into great detail, you know, we teach about character, the character of Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. That word name means character, honor, and authority. we're to come in Christ's name. We pray in his name. We do these works in his name. That means his character.
Yes.
And without character, you're not going to have kingdom.
Yep.
So basically, that's in a nutshell. I actually just wrote a booklet on that.
Oh.
So yeah, we'll get you some of those too.
But good. So you've written a number of books. How can people get your books?
Amazon, our website, your bookstore.
Yes, we do have some in our bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also have a website. What's your website?
StillwatersInternationalMissions.com.
StillwatersInternationalMissions.com. Right. Okay. We'll put a link to that. And we'll also put a link to some of our previous episodes with the two of you.
Yeah.
And let people enjoy that. So we're really looking forward to having you with us. And of course, there will be a link to the event page where we have the school so that people that are interested can read all about it and say, hey, I'm coming, and click on that register button and be here with us.
And I just sense, you know, by the Spirit of God, this year when we taught the other three schools, I had a great expectation that the Lord was releasing something new, and it's going to, and this has been building all year. So I really have an expectancy on this school that something is going to be released. I don't know exactly what, and it might be, but it's going to be interesting. I'm coming expecting.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're
one
expecting
of the
too.
Practical things that I like to mention is about this school at Global Outpouring. A lot of people don't get this information, is that it is one of the best places
that we
like to come, because everything is on one compound. You have the school there, and you also have a place to sleep. So you don't have to be running around and, you know, stress going to hotels and stuff, and also meals.
Yeah.
So everything is in one compound, and it's a beautiful property, a great place for morning walks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a best deal. That's what I have to say. I love it.
And we'll keep the bears on leashes, so it's no problem.
No, there's no bears.
Yeah, there are bears.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually do have bears.
We have air horns, though.
Yeah. they're not going to come around when there's a lot of people around.
No.
Right.
I don't think they'll see them.
They're not grizzlies like you get up.
No matter. We have authority. Pay.
Yeah. That's true. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's true.
We'll get to eat together. It's pretty awesome.
Beautiful. Well, Bruce, would you pray for our listeners before we close?
I'd be honored. Father, we thank you for this time together where we touched on many things. But I ask you, Father, to stir the hearts of those who are listening to pursue you through your word, through prayer, through worship, and through quiet times, just waiting on you. In this hour, Father, it's imperative that we know you.
Yes.
More than any other time in the history of mankind, this is the final moments.
Hmm.
And so we must be close with you. And so I pray a grace come upon everybody that is hearing this podcast, and an activation within them of the things that you have been building in them for years.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the podcasting platform suggest this podcast to other listeners who are also looking for a great move of the Holy Spirit. Check out our website at globaloutpouring.org to find out more information, read our blogs, connect with us, and donate. You can also browse our web store for life-changing anointed books. Until next time, this is Sharon Buss.
And I'm Philip Buss.
God bless you with his overwhelming, loving presence.